Happy Saturday. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Today, we're going to talk about two things. First, I'm going to present a little bit differently than last week's show. The dots which I want you to connect the lines between related to Barack Obama's, shall we say, sympathy toward Muslims and, in my opinion, his plan for Iran to get the bomb. And I mean that literally. His plan for Iran to get the bomb. Last week, I did a show on the same topic. However, I got a number of emails from listeners, and I do listen to what you have to say. I do read what you send me. And folks kind of followed it. They kind of got it, but they thought I was, I'll use a few words, wandering, not concise, and convoluted. People particularly had difficulty with the nuances in this whole, shall we say, world jihad of the acrimony and the fighting between Sunnis and Shiites. Remember, Iran is a Shiite nation. So, today, first thing is, I'm going to give you a staccato, a rapid machine gun type of dots, which I think are even more, should we say, pervasive, more inclusive than my delivery of last week. And secondly, we're going to talk about the economy a little bit. Because, you know, there's been, everybody's patting themselves on the back, particularly Mr. Obama and his crew, about 257,000 new jobs and unemployment at 5.7 whatever percent that the government says it is, yada, yada, yada. And I'm going to give you some background on those statistics, what's really going on. I don't mean the superficial nonsense that you're fed by the mainstream media and the stats which are on the headlines of the New York Times, nor the backslapping, the self-backslapping of the Obama administration. And I'm doing both of these for two reasons. Because you're my listeners and you deserve to know. Because there are certain things I think, if you have the information, you can take the steps which may be necessary in the future to protect your family, your wealth, your health and safety, and, you know, under worse conditions, your survival. So, I wouldn't call it doom and gloom. Why don't we call it a what-if worst case that you can prepare for. Because that's kind of my job. To bring you the news behind the news. To bring you the facts so that you can connect them and form your own conclusion. I call them dots. And I think that your health, your safety, your welfare, your finance, your freedoms, and your security, particularly related to the upheavals in the world, this worldwide jihad, the reestablishment of the caliphate, which is well underway, folks, you really kind of need to know the background. And then listen, you may think I'm cracked. You may think I'm high on soda pop or something. Who knows what? But nonetheless, these are the dots. So let's begin with a reiteration in rapid machine gun form of the dots which lead me to the supposition that I've stated many times, and there'll be a link in the write-up to my previous shows on this topic, not last week, but shows before this and some national interviews. There'll also be links, by the way, in the write-up to shadowstatistics.com, which I've exhorted you to look at from time to time. We're going to talk about that. And there'll be a link to Michelle Obama's Princeton thesis, which I've talked about many times, which some of you have had difficulty finding. You won't have any difficulty finding it now, because it all ties in. So let's start with topic one. Obama's love of Islam and he and his team's desire that Iran get the bomb. I might add, coupled with his desire that we not know his real desire. First of all, both his father and his stepfather were Muslim. Secondly, his early years were in a Muslim school in Indonesia. Third, and my producers will put up the link again so that you can get a used copy, he told you what he thinks. His own words, forget what I say, forget what anybody else says in his own book, Dreams from My Father. Read the book, particularly the sections where he talks about Islam, Muslims, and the Muslim faith. There's no doubt, and I can give you 1,000 dots on this, that he and his henchmen, particularly Eric Holder, and his wife are partial to brown-skinned people and are convinced that brown-skinned people are the victims of white people for many, 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 many years. We're talking, based on his last speech, which we'll get into, 1,000 years, going back to the Crusades. He firmly believes that America, and he has talked about this, you can Google it up, Barack Obama reparations. He firmly believes that reparations are due from America to the rest of the world, most of which is brown-skinned, and within America, from whites to brown-skinned people. I am not saying this to be racist. I am saying this to state a fact. Please read Michelle Obama's thesis. The links are down below. It's in 4 parts. It was published by Politico. Let her words speak for themselves, just like Barry's words speak for themselves in Dreams From, not To, From My Father, his book. Let's take a look at his animosity toward Israel. A huge dot. He is the only president to ever suggest that Israel return to its pre-67 borders, which is suicide. That would actually make one portion of the country less than 12 miles wide from its boundary to the sea. Rather indefensible. His support for Palestinians has been enunciated by him in many, many, many speeches. America's support of Palestinians, even though the money is knowingly funneled to Hezbollah, a radical terrorist group bent on the destruction of Israel, it's part of their charter, look it up, and financed by Iran, we'll call that an Iranian dot, is black and white. Tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars. Valerie Jarrett, who many believe really runs the country, and who everyone agrees is the power behind the White House, the go-to person, the gal without whom neither Barack nor Michelle does anything. She was born in Tehran, Iran. In 2009, another dot, 2009, Obama delivered his famous Cairo speech. apologizing for America, treatment of Muslims, of brown-skinned people, etc., etc., etc. He invited the Muslim Brotherhood to that speech, who had had a boot on their neck from all of the governments in the Middle East for decades. He basically rebirthed them because he legitimized them by having them sit at the speech in the front row. The Muslim Brotherhood is the founder. It is all these terrorist organizations in one way, shape, or form are their spawn. They are the masterminds. They are the umbrella for terrorists throughout the world. And they follow a strict sect of Sharia law, which I'll tie in for you in a later dot. In 2009, you had the Green Uprising in Iran. It likely would have succeeded, except that Barack Obama took the sides of the Ayatollah and did not support the uprising whatsoever. Even though those poor people in the streets in Iran, looking for change, looking to make their country more secular, begged the United States and Barack Obama for help. Ironically, many of them were inspired wrongly by his election. He abandoned them completely. The same thing happened in Egypt. He allowed the Muslim Brotherhood to come to power in Egypt after the Arab Spring uprising there, and then supported it not only with over $1 billion in money aid per year, but in the shipment of all sorts of armaments, including F-18 and F-16 fighter planes. A few years down the road, when the Egyptian people had had enough and threw them out, and the military took over. And remember, this is probably our staunchest ally in the Middle East, and another dot, the key to preserving peace with Israel, along with Jordan. He not only protested the Muslim Brotherhood being thrown out, despite 40 million people in the streets. 40 million people in the streets. So much for democracy. He not only protested the Muslim Brotherhood being thrown out, he withheld aid from the government that replaced them, the secular government that replaced them. In a later dot, jumping forward, and we'll go back again, not one word of support, not one round of applause for the courageous stance of the current Egyptian president against Islamic extremism, Islamic radical terrorists, and jihad. Particularly after the very bold and brave speech of the Egyptian president just a month ago. So, during this time period, where we had not had a single terror attack of any nature, big, small, or whatever, during the reign of George Bush, and this is not to extol his virtues, he made plenty of mistakes, we began to have terrorist incidents. The Arkansas recruiting station, Fort Hood, the Boston bombers, and I can give you a host of others. The poor gal who recently got her head cut off in Oklahoma. On each and every occasion, the administration went out of their way to call it anything but terrorism, and particularly Islamic terrorism. Fort Hood just yesterday was reclassified 5 years after the fact by the military as terror rather than workplace violence. And that's only because Republicans passed a bill which allowed them to do it as part of the Defense Authorization Act. So, we now kind of fast forward, shall we, a year or two. And we have the United States under Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett and his wonderful national security team, Susan Rice, oh my, destabilizing Yemen, which occupies a key geographic spot, a narrow neck of the Red Sea prior to getting to the Suez Canal. Control of Yemen and those straits is as effective as controlling the Suez. Once he destabilized Yemen, he withdrew. And this is after withdrawing from Iraq, blaming the Iraqi government for not leaving American troops there because the Iraqis wouldn't sign a status of forces agreement, which we have now learned is nonsense. It could have been signed. Obama didn't want to sign it because it was a convenient excuse not to leave troops there. And not leaving troops there created a vacuum which was rapidly filled by terrorists, most notably ISIS. Despite that experience, besides that historical lesson, completely ignoring it, he interferes in Yemen and then steps back. And then repeats the process in Libya, taking out Gaddafi, in what we have now learned in just the last several weeks was a move pushed by him and Hillary Clinton and strongly and vigorously opposed by many members of Congress, including Kucinich and the Pentagon, who went so far as to open up their own lines of communication to try and forestall that intervention. But nonetheless, we intervened on the commander-in-chief's orders. And then we withdrew, leaving another vacuum, which again has been filled with radical Islamists. I might add that Yemen, Iraq, and Libya were filled by terrorists and are now run by terrorists that are under the control of, financed by, and directed, just like Hezbollah, by Iran. During this period of time, a woman met in Qatar with Iranian representatives. That woman was Valerie Jarrett. That opened up the Iranian quote-unquote nuclear negotiations. At the inception of those negotiations, receiving nothing in return, similar to the Cuba deal, Obama relaxed sanctions unilaterally and illegally, and the Tehran government, which had been teetering on economic collapse, was rejuvenated by over $8 billion, which flowed its way from the unilateral relaxation of those sanctions prior to negotiations ever beginning. And there's been more since then. The president has said he would veto any bill that passes Congress that would rebirth those sanctions, even if the sanctions would only come into play again if Iran did not reach a satisfactory resolution in the negotiations to their nuclear program. In other words, future sanctions. He'll veto that, never even seeing them. In Syria, which happens to be Iran's closest ally, Barack Obama has done everything under the sun, despite his words to the contrary, to not take out Assad. Let's face it, folks. If we knocked out Gaddafi in a week, we knocked out the old Yemen government in like 2 days. We took down Iraq in 11 weeks. I think that if he had been serious, if his red line nonsense was not just that nonsense, Syria and Assad would basically be gone. But I don't think he wants to knock out Iran's strongest ally. All right, so during all this, Kerry, who is a willing lackey in the grand plan, announces that we will no longer honor the Monroe Doctrine. We will no longer follow that. The Monroe Doctrine, for those of you that don't remember, was a doctrine set forth by Monroe. This is going way back. That basically said, any intrusion into our hemisphere, that's North or South America, by a foreign power who is an adversary or could be an adversary, will not be tolerated. The United States will not allow adversaries to get a foothold in the hemisphere. John Kerry, who operates, of course, under the orders of Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett and who knows who else, said, we're no longer going to follow that. A year later, Barack Obama illegally normalizes, quote-unquote, relations with Cuba. And we haven't seen the end of that deal. He has done nothing to thwart the establishment of military liaisons and plans for future bases by Russia and Iran in Venezuela and Cuba. Not only has he done nothing, he hasn't even mentioned it. Now, after all this historical context, you knock out Libya, the terrorists come in. You knock out Yemen, the terrorists come in. You don't knock out Syria, you allow the terrorists to come in and Syria to survive. You withdraw your troops from Iraq, the terrorists take over. All of them under the influence of and in the sphere of Iran. Now he's going to do the same thing in Afghanistan. Just months after releasing the Taliban's basically five top generals in return for a Muslim sympathizing deserter, the son of Muslim sympathizing parents. Some of you may be shaking their head. I suggest you watch, you know, Google it up. You can watch it some video. Watch that whole nonsense in the Rose Garden when the president was announcing the release of Bergdahl, a deserting PFC / sergeant for the five Taliban generals. And you can listen to Bergdahl's father chant in Arabic during the ceremony, in front of the cameras. I mean, I don't think your eyes or ears would be lying to you. We have the spectacle of ISIS, quote-unquote, bombings. Come on. You know, the libs say, oh, he's bombing more than any of the other countries, and yada, 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 yada. You know, that's true. The other countries are barely doing anything because they see no leadership. But putting that aside, that's a surmise, not a dot. Here is a dot. In Operation Desert Storm, the first Iraqi war, It was 1,100 airstrikes a day. And Operation Iraqi Freedom, the second Iraq War, it was 800 airstrikes a day. There have been less than 900 airstrikes over the last 4+ months, an average of about 7 airstrikes a day. The numbers don't lie. There's just enough activity so he can say he's doing something, but he's made sure it's not enough activity to make any difference, as the expanding map of the lands controlled by ISIS amply portray. And the tortures and abuses of minority sects, Christians, ancient Christian sects, and yes, Muslims, it's well documented. We don't have to go into it. We've had two Americans beheaded. We have one gal missing that ISIS says supposedly has been killed in a Jordanian airstrike. I don't believe that for a minute. And I shudder to think what her fate really is. Forced marriage, maybe, to some ISIS chieftain. You don't hear a word about Boca from this administration. Now 9,000 to 12,000 fighters strong in Africa. Rampaging there on a level, if not as bad, I mean within a fraction of being as bad as ISIS. Al-Qaeda, particularly of the peninsula, is every bit as savage, i.e. Paris. Yet all this is brushed off by a president, and this is a dot, who refuses and has not used the words radical Muslim, radical Islamist, Islamic terrorism, Muslim terrorism, radical Islamist jihad. He will not utter those words. Yet, and here's the crowning touch, and it really is the crowning touch, yet he maintains in a prayer, in the national prayer speech that he gave, national prayer breakfast speech that he gave just the other day, that we should, and this is almost a quote, should not be on our high horses because Christians committed equally bad sins 1,000 years ago in the Crusades and 500 years ago in the Inquisition. Oh, and by the way, there's also that slavery thing in America. Folks, I think if you take all this put together, and by the way, his last speech was a rare insight. I don't think it was on his teleprompter. I think it was a rare insight into what this guy really thinks and that I've been talking about for years. America owes the brown-skinned peoples of the world. Christians owe Muslims. And it's his job to make sure those rights are wrong, social justice is achieved, and that these long-aged, terrible sins of slavery, never mind the fact the Arabs were the biggest slavers of ancient times, these huge wrongs of slavery, Inquisition and Crusades, must be righted. There must be justice. And Barack Obama is doing everything he can, from open borders, not supporting our anti-Islamist allies, and supporting in every way he can the Islamists by either act or lack of act. In other words, lack of act, not fighting them, act, financing them. and covering for them in his rhetoric. This guy wants us to pay. And I don't mean just in money. Whatever happens to America and her allies at the hands of Islamic Jihad, Barack Obama, in his heart of hearts, believes is the proper blow against colonialism and the proper reparation and retribution for all these wrongs dating back 1,000 years. So I hopefully that was more succinct for you folks who didn't think it was last week. And by the way, I appreciate the comments. And now we're going to get into the economy. Because, you know, it all kind of fits hand in glove. Ah, yes, the economy. So we have all these rosy statistics, and we have headlines in the New York Times, and we have all the progressives scurrying about the halls of Congress. Oh boy, America's back. This economy is gaining traction. We have the president patting himself on the back along with his minions at the White House. And they all know it's not true. In fact, they all know that's not really their plan or design. 257,000 new jobs, trumpets the papers, trumpets the president. Increase in jobs, readjustment and increase in jobs in November and December. GDP over 3% in October, November, and December, the last quarter of 2014. Well, that normally happens during holiday seasons. I hate to clue you. You can go back, you know, maybe 100 years. As do an uptick in jobs. None of these figures are true. Down below, I have the link to shadowstats.com. Go look at it. And I'm going to tell you that this downward blip in energy prices is exactly what it is, a blip. Look for energy prices to come roaring back higher than before. And that's just assuming the normal course of events. A decreasing in dollar from its current strength, which is only temporary because America just happens to be the safest place, not the best place for money, the safest place. This is all going to turn around with a vengeance. And if you think we can stagger around under the weight of 100 trillion plus in unfunded liabilities, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, pensions, and what we are now approaching $20 trillion in primary national debt, well, you're wrong. And these people know you're wrong. And the increase in debt is intentional. The mantra being fed to you is intentional. The unemployment rate, properly calculated, is not 5.7 whatever percent. The job growth is not 257,000. And by the way, two-thirds of the job growth is to illegal aliens. Study done just 2 weeks ago. Two-thirds of the jobs that are coming available in the United States are not going to Americans. These figures, which are trumpeted, are basically the first page and a selected summary by the folks who put together these statistics at government agencies to a 30-page report. You have to dig way deeper than that. Even the trends which these pundits and progressives and administration officials and the president himself, knowing full well it's just one more lie, want to slap themselves on the back for, the trends are misleading. You can't have an accurate trend, folks, if you have inaccurate statistics underlying what you project as the trend. So is the economy doing better on the surface temporarily? Yes. Is the economy doing better? Has it resurrected itself from the depths of 2008, 2009? Not the case. You know what? Sorry about that, folks. Just not the case. Just not the case. Please go to that link, real that Shadow Statistics. They've actually changed their name. They're now shadowstats.com. The link is right here in the write-up. And you don't have to read all the gobbledygook on that site. Read the first page. You know, this unemployment rate that the government tells you is 5.7 blah 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 percent. How about 23% unemployment, folks? 23%. In fact, U6, I've talked about it in previous shows, this is Barack Obama's own Labor Department, has unemployment at over 11%. This is, you can't believe anything you are told. It is truly remarkable. Let's put things in perspective. The United States economy, even though we had the best consumer spending in almost a decade, the U.S. economy grew just 2.6% in the fourth quarter of 2014. In fact, for the entire year 2014, gross domestic product grew just 2.4%. And that's the ninth consecutive year of GDP growth below 3% on an annual basis. Obviously, a few of those years are Bush's. Let's put that in perspective. The average U.S. quarterly growth rate since World War II has been 3.3%. I mean, this is we're operating almost 20% less than what is normal. And in a post-recession recovery, which in this case began all the way back to June 2009, growth is usually higher. It's called the bounce effect. We never saw it. We've barely seen a quarter that approaches the 3.3% rate. Never mind 3.3% for an entire period under Obama. America has never endured a stretch equaling the current 9-year streak without GDP growth exceeding 3%. Never, ever. We've slipped to number two behind China in GDP. For the first time in history, we have dropped out of the top 10 in the World Economic Index. The percentage of U.S. population with jobs has fallen to its lowest level since 1978, and that was before women really entered the workforce, folks. And unemployment exceeded 8% despite his stimulus plan for the longest period in United States history. I don't need to tell you about the debt. I projected 2 years ago this guy would push it up over 20 trillion, and guess what the CBO said just a week ago? First of all, his budget this year, which of course isn't going to get passed, $4 trillion. His budget this year, if implemented, would put us at 18.6 trillion by the end of the year. We're at about 17 and a half right now. We're easily going to break the 20 trillion, and the CBO has suddenly realized it. It's now in their projections. Ring, 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 ring. Dial 911. Bring the oxygen tank. I've talked in the past about Cloward and Piven, the theory by those two leftist professors from Columbia. Gee, where did he go to school? Oh, yeah, that's right, Columbia. About how You don't need a revolution to bring down a capitalist system. You simply overburden it with financial entitlement, i.e. debt. Or should we say programs which lead to debt. And that's what he's doing. It's clear as day. It's as clear as what he's doing to undermine the security of the United States relative to radical Islamic terror. And buckling before Russia. And kowtowing to China. It's clear as a bell. And by the way, you think that Keystone is an environmental deal? No. Keystone, folks, if the Keystone pipeline goes through, there will be 700,000, give or take, barrels of oil per day that we will not be buying from the brown-skinned peoples of the Middle East. This is about social justice, engineering, social engineering, reparations, and retribution. It has nothing to do with the environment. Understand where this guy is coming from. And understand this, that despite the rosy numbers of the past month or two, they cannot be trusted because they are not real. And the uptick that we have experienced, and there has been an uptick, but not to the extent that everybody's beating their chest over, is more because the rest of the world is literally falling apart. Europe is in a downward, ever-increasing, ever more rapid spiral. Africa is paralyzed by terrorism. And it's a mirage. It's all a mirage. Money is coming to the United States only because it's the last safe place, not the last best place. And at some point in time, the dollar will begin to sink. The plans of all those countries that have planned its demise as the world currency, Russia, China, the BRIC countries, we've talked about it on many occasions with many national prominent economists on this show. It's going to catch up with us. If that was coupled with a major terrorist action within the United States, something between the realm of 9/11 and bigger, I think that you can sit back and without a lot of imagination recognize that the world would turn upside down overnight. So all I'm asking you is, my friends and my listeners, is not panic, don't worry, don't lie awake at night, but listen, be aware. Have your ducks in a row just in case. Understand what is really going on. Understand the big picture. Forget the pundits talking about, well, was the crusade really defensive, or it's not important. What's important is this guy gave you a glimpse into his mind when he said those words at the National Prayer Breakfast. Reinforced by what Rice said, Susan Rice. Wow, I am so tired of her. What Susan Rice said at the Brookings Institute. Reinforced most importantly by his acts and lack of acts. This guy does not think that a terrorist attack on the United States or the crumbling of the economy or the dollar sinking out of the world reserve currency status is a bad thing. He thinks it is justice. social justice, actual justice, retribution, and reparations. He really does. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Keep those comments coming, folks. I love them. I really do. Do not be bashful. And by the way, if you get a chance, go to our Facebook page and throw us a like on the Right Side Radio on Facebook. We'd love to have your support.